All right, welcome back to episode 3 of Kids, Socks, and Motherhood. This is one of your hosts with the mostest, Kelly, and I'm here with my lovely co-host,
Vesta V. It's me.
So we just want to thank everyone for being weekly listeners with us, yes. And we are just so proud of ourselves for making it to this point.
I can't believe it's been a third week.
I know, it's like, it just kind of blows my mind that we are actually doing some stuff that we actually love doing and talking about a topic that we have to be around 24/7. So
exactly. Why not?
So why not put it out there and talk with other moms who go through the same type of shebang on a weekly, daily, monthly, yearly basis. So for you who are all new listeners, we are kind of on a little bit of a roll here because we realize that the expectation versus reality of being a mom, we had so many different, how do we want to say it?
I guess so many different areas we could, you know,
yes,
get it from, really, if you think about it. And especially being a stay-at-home mom, like it's so many angles you can hit this topic from. And so we decided that one episode was not enough.
not at all. And for all of you who are just kind of riding this wave with us, you'll understand like why we said that the reality of expectations that we have for ourselves prior to becoming moms, and the reality of what it was when it set in, you were like, whoo, this is a total difference.
Very different.
And, you know, we just wish people would talk about this a little bit more. And in a way, even kind of normalize it. Like, you don't really hear about that piece to it. And, you know, sometimes if you're a new mom out there in the process of learning when you're, you know, that you're expecting or you're about to deliver and you've never had a child before, this can be scary. It can be very, very scary.
World.
Seriously, just like, what's that, the Aladdin song?
Right.
That's real, y'all. That is so, so real. But really, let's just jump into it when it comes to motherhood. Let's just think about it. So Vesta, for you, just to really like put it out there, what were your expectations of being a mother like for you prior to you having Eli?
Oh, man. Okay, as far as what was I expecting? You know, honestly, I don't know what I was expecting. I just knew that I was about to have a kid. And I knew that I wanted to do my very best to love, to nurture, to provide, and just to be a great mom, you know, altogether. And I guess as time went on from the birth until now, then I guess certain expectations arose.
Yes.
And of course, you have expectations for some things, and it's just not the reality. I know, for like an example, just deciding to stay home, you know, with Eli.
Yes.
I knew it was going to require, like I said previously, a lot of energy, but the amount of energy, once again, I was just not expecting to just be pulled in so many different directions because, you know, why, you know, my husband is here. Let's be honest, when the baby first come, most of the role playing is on the mother, you know?
Yes, most definitely. I just to piggyback off of that, I don't know what I was expecting. You know, I really don't. And I've been around kids all of my life. I have a really large, immediate family. So it was always a baby coming.
You do got
through.
A lot of people in your family.
Girl, a lot. So it was just huge. So I was accustomed to being around babies, but it was just the idea of when it was my baby and it was like, oh, this baby doesn't go back home. Right.
Not at all.
So it was just like, oh, I'm stuck with you for a while. And you kind of cry when I want to sleep, and you sleep when I want to cry. You know, it's just kind of the idea of it. And it blew my mind for a while. And it was just the idea of, okay, so I carried this being inside of me for, you know, with my son, I carried him for 39 weeks. And with my daughter, I carried her for 40 on the nose. And it's like, I carry this being for all this time, and then they come out here and it's like, all right, what do I do? Because you were easy to carry on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that's the part people don't talk about either, is that it's actually, the pregnancy is not even the hardest part. The hardest part is when the baby is out, and then you're like, okay, what do I do next?
Mm-hmm. It's so much pressure. Like, I know when Eli came home, and I think I've told you this before, I had a major anxiety attack.
Like, no, I didn't know that.
I thought I told you. Like, I think it was the second night he came, the second night or third night he was home, and me and my husband, we were eating dinner, and Tyron had to leave for a second, and I'm sitting in this chair, and that's not what happened. So he came back from bringing mm-hmm. dinner, and I'm sitting in this chair, and I was like, babe, you know, I said, my chest feels weird. He was like, what's going on? And, you know, I've experienced anxiety on smaller scales, but this one was just like, I literally felt like my heart was about to pop out of my chest, and I was just so anxious because, you know, this is third night. I'm still, you know, trying to make sure I'm breastfeeding correctly. It was a lot, but that third night of having Eli home, I had a full-blown anxiety attack. You know, my husband, he encouraged me, he prayed over me, he was just really great support, but no one prepares you, you know.
Yeah.
For that part, you know, for the postpartum emotions and mm-hmm. all that type of stuff. And that's a whole nother episode.
But yeah, that is very, very true. And it was for my little guy, I had support of my mother when it came to like my first night home. And she was very surprised because she was like, oh, you didn't even need me. I was like, no, I didn't. You know, I was able to kind of manage because during pregnancy, I just remember being like having my sleep and awake cycle being every 4 hours, and the baby mm-hmm. was still on that sleep awake cycle. So it worked out really well for me. I felt very, very grateful for the idea of the baby being able to sleep that way. Now with my daughter, let me tell y'all, this one, she was a night owl, and she kind of still is to this day in a way. And she would just want to be up. Like, she would just be up, just talking, laughing, giggling, and all this other stuff. And it was always, and then dad always had to go to work the next day. And she would just be up, just talking. And he'd be like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with it? Like, what's wrong with the baby? He's like, I was like, I don't know. And for me, I kind of normalized it. And I will keep saying this phrase, I did normalize. I'm like, well, she is a baby. She doesn't know any different. She was accustomed to being in this very safe space. They really didn't move much. And she was able to kind of get adjusted the way she wanted to be adjusted. And now she's in a situation where she's in this world, and she's probably thinking, why did I choose to come back to this world mm-hmm. of all worlds? And, you know, she's just like, yeah, you know, she's like, you know, like, what's going on? And, you know, of course, things have gotten easier as time has gone on.
Right, right.
But I just really wish that there were more conversations about what it was like, you know, bringing the baby home. And, like, I was very grateful for the fact, like, my son, my hospital stay mm-hmm. after I had him was like 4 days. So I had mm-hmm. so much help. And I think that's, for me, made a difference because I did have the help, even though I didn't even use it, which is the craziest part.
Girl, I kept Eli with me in my room.
Yeah, you know, I would be like, they're like, oh, don't you want to get to sleep? I'm like, sure. I'm like, anytime. I was like, sure. You know, I would say, sure. And then I was like, well, if he cries, bring him right back. So he would cry like after like 15 minutes, and then he would come right back, which I didn't mind because, again, I was a mom, and a lot of you guys are going to try to spank my hand for this, but I co-slept with my babies, and I still co-sleep with my baby. I still co-sleep with my baby.
Wait. Hold on. I'm looking. I'm laughing because
what happened?
I remember the second night at the hospital. I was dog tired, y'all. I was dog tired. And the nurse, she came in, and I drifted off to sleep. She came in, and she was like, you want me to take the baby so you can get some rest? And I was like, oh no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I just had that. I was just so paranoid. Like, I did not want them to take my baby. No. And I literally fought through the sleep. You know, even though that was a perfect time for us to get some rest after labor and delivery, I just could not let him out of my sight. I couldn't.
No.
But that night replays in my head and I crack up because I was dog tired. I was so delusional.
But you know, it's just so, because all these stories that you hear about babies coming, like for me, it was like babies coming missing from the hospital, you know, thing. I was like, nah, she's staying under me.
I know.
And all this other stuff. Because even to the point that with my daughter, I kept her placenta attached purposefully. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting experience. And people were just trying to figure out how to do like her shots. I'm like, we're not doing those. And just trying to do all these testing. They couldn't because she had her placenta attached, which means she couldn't go too far. So right. I laughed because I understand what that means. You know, you're like, no, she can't go too far. He can't go too far. I'm going to keep them right here in my space because that's just how it goes. Mm-hmm. But for real, motherhood is a conversation that I wish our elders really talked about.
Yeah.
You know, you just see them, and if you even were to have a conversation like with your mother or your grandmother, they were always on survival mode when it came to raising their kids. And I am here to say that I ain't trying to be on survival mode. I don't know about you. Like,
right.
I don't. I'm like, no. I don't want to do that. And you just see that they just had to work, and their priorities were, of course, in other places. And, you know, for us, I just feel like, you know, I'm very grateful for our positions that we're in, that we get a chance to be home with our kids.
Most definitely.
And I know that's not something that comes very easily to some, but it's just, you just think about it in that way. Like, I'm grateful. I'm very grateful.
And, you know, another thing too, I thought about, there is a lot of pressure, you know, on moms to, you know, do things a certain way when it comes to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's important to remember, especially for first time moms. And I had to tell myself this, this is your first time being a mother, and this is this baby's first time being in this world. So
yes,
it's an adjustment for both the baby and the mom, you know. And one mm-hmm. example I like to use is breastfeeding. You know, yes, there's so much emphasis put on, you know, making sure the baby latch. And mm-hmm. why that is important, once again, let's remember that this baby was being fed, you know, automatically in our womb. So we can't expect the baby to, if the baby's having problems latching on the first 2 days, okay, just give it some time. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the yeah. baby's first time ever on a nipple. And this is yes. your first time being a mom, a breastfeeding mom, you know, if that's the case. And so just be patient with yourself. Be patient in that newborn process, because believe me, it goes by so quick. It really does.
I'm telling you, like, we both have kids now. They're, what, 3, 2, 1, if you put our kids in order.
And oh, yeah.
You just think about, they are, they're 3, 2, 1. And if you just think about the whole mindset of it all, it's just, I think the breastfeeding part of it is, like, the greatest conversation. Because you got to think about, like you were saying, the feeding process of it. And knowing that they were getting food through the umbilical cord, like it's coming mm-hmm. through their bellies, like they're getting fed right to the source. So they're not using those sucking reflexes to be able
exactly.
to know what that means and what that looks like. And then when they do, you know, you get the mom guilt or shame, and it's because the baby starts losing so much weight mm-hmm. When, you know, for them trying to suckle. Whereas and this is the craziest thing. I didn't even realize this until the second time around, that they exert so much energy when they're mm-hmm. trying to eat when they're first born. That's why they drop so much weight. And it's just like, wow. Okay.
I think that's because of the fluids. I know one of my nurses said that they lose at least, is it 6% of their birth weight after they're born, just because of the fluid retention.
Now, that is a question we should probably look up. I'm not sure of that part. I know I learned about the part when it comes to them exerting a lot for trying to eat, especially breastfeeding babies. I know they okay. lose more because they're trying to learn the whole process of sucking and things like that, where they
that
have to work
sense.
For, you know, where they have to work for their milk compared to a baby that's bottle fed, where the milk kind of comes out automatically. So they pick up a little bit faster
right.
With the sucking process compared to a baby that's actually latching on. And just for me, I just felt, you know, like I said, I'm very grateful because both of my babies latched on really, really well. My son latched on like crazy. I was like, all right, you're going to be a hearty eater. And my daughter, you know, she latched on, but she still isn't like the biggest eater still to this day. Like, she'll drink her milk and, you know, things like that. So I just look at those situations and don't mom shame. Let's just kind of get there too. Like, right. Don't mom shame a mom that is really working hard to try to breastfeed. Don't try to offer alternatives because that does not help. It makes us feel like
it frustrates us too.
Yes. You know, it makes you feel very inadequate that you really can't do this. And that is probably the worst feeling to ever have, you know, mm-hmm. to have that mom shame or have someone say, well, try this. And it's like, well, this is what I'm working towards. So support me with this part of it. Mm-hmm. And if you can't support me with this part of it, then don't say anything to me at all. Like, I would prefer to just stay silent. Zip it. Like, just stay silent. Just let that part go. I just think, like, motherhood itself, I just wish there was a conversation just had about it, especially when you have the first baby and then what it's like to be a mother of two or three or four, because it changes you.
It does. You know, one thing too I thought about is an expectation I had. I think with just my worldview and how I saw things when it came to I guess support, I thought my support would look very different than what it is now. Mm-hmm. Also, even just in the beginning stages, not necessarily right now, but in the beginning, you know how, you know, there are people that may come over and stay the night or help mm-hmm. you out or, you know, just stop by. Yeah. I mean, I had people, you know, that would come and visit. Most of the time, people are there for the baby, you know?
Yeah.
And not really there for the mom. And that's another conversation, too, how important that fourth trimester emotional support is for moms or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And just to say, mine was a little different than what I expected, you know. I'm appreciative. I am. I'm really appreciative of the support that I had, but I really thought my support would look a lot different when I first mm-hmm. had the baby.
And it's so funny that you say that, because I can talk to you about the idea of both, like having the support and, you know, of like the large family mass coming in, really doing all of it, and then just having myself and my king there with the kids. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I appreciate the non-support. And really? Here's why. Yes, here's why. Because I didn't have a lot of people influencing me on the way I should do certain things. So it was very easy that we had to literally depend upon each other, and it worked so well. Like, right. It was so, so well. And, you know, we had it down packed with scheduling wise. We didn't have a lot of interruptions. I was able to rest, even with the two kids, I was able to rest more. Even though people would try to call and things like that, I would keep my phone on vibrate. So if somebody did call, I missed it and would call when we were in our awake cycle. Mm-hmm. So I was very, not saying I wouldn't love to have the support, but I would tell you it was different for me as far as like not having all the people around, because it actually made, I don't know if it's because I was a mother the second time around, I knew what to expect.
Right.
But even with the first time around, it felt very overwhelming because, you know, my family is so big. And, you know, when people come out, they come out in masses, you know. It was just like, girl, that's what it felt like. I felt like I was Simba running from the wildebeest, right? I think that's what they were. He's in the gorge. But, you know, I just think about, it was very refreshing, to be honest with you. And because my expectation that time, the second time around, I didn't have an expectation of what it would look mm-hmm. like to have the support there. So I didn't set myself up to be like, oh, I'm going to have this person here for the birth.
Yeah.
Have this, you know, things like that. Because we were in a totally different state from where my family is when I gave birth the second time.
Right.
And it was so peaceful.
That makes sense, though. The second time around, like, there's not, you know, your expectations are different. I could mm-hmm. see that for the second time around. But, yeah.
It was just so, so peaceful. I just encourage, you know, the mothers out there, if you're getting in the process to deliver or have already delivered, give yourself the time to just be with baby, especially because you're, even though the bean has been inside of you all this time, you're getting to know a whole nother person. So yes. Give yourself that time to be able to learn this person, because if you have all these people around you, you won't get the opportunity, because everybody be holding a baby. You can't even set a schedule. It's like, y'all leave me alone for just a little bit. Like, what? Trust and believe.
My body just went through so much emotionally, physically, just hormones all over the place.
Yeah, you know how much weight I just lost from pushing out this baby? The baby's 7 pounds, the placenta like 2, and I lose all this water. That's like, what, 15, 16 pounds I just lost out of me right now. Like,
speaking of weight. You...
Yes, what's up?
I was expecting to lose quite a bit of weight from breastfeeding. And yeah. You know, in the beginning I did, but I don't know. As time went on, I kind of like gained that back. And retained it. So that was another expectation that I had, was to, oh, I'm gonna be slim, I'm gonna stay fit, you know, because I'm breastfeeding. Yeah, that's not so much the case, but I'm working on it, you know, I'm working on my fitness.
So what I noticed was, like, my biggest ally with, like, the weight loss after having the kids was water. Like, literally water and finding ways to rest. Of course, it's, like, a lot of stuff that you consume, too, would make a difference as well. But I've heard so many stories from moms that when they actually stopped breastfeeding, they lost everything. Like, everything just dropped. Because you got to think about your breastfeeding. So you're exerting a lot of energy, and you have to keep your body mass at a certain level to produce the milk that your baby's requesting, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, hopefully I'll, you know, lose at least 30, because Eli will be 2 in what? How many days? What, it's the 18th, October 4th? Less than a couple weeks? Yeah. That's when I'm stopping. Lord have mercy.
That's going to be a fun, interesting time there, transitioning him from being off of the titty. Just saying. I'm just saying, I'm being honest. But no, seriously, it's just the, you know, the expectations of, like, losing weight because of the breastfeeding. It happens. I feel like you have, like, that small window. The one thing I learned from my grandmother, who had 13, is how she lost all of her weight, because she's not a big lady at all. She's never really been a big
lady.
Right,
she's not.
No, and she had 13. And she all natural, let me tell you.
I don't see how they did it back then.
Girl, and she had them all before the 70s. So just imagine, okay? So what I learned from her is, when after she would have her baby, they would tie her belly. They would wrap her belly like with a girdle or things like that. So both times with my kids, with my C-section, I did it purposefully because to help with the healing. And I did it the second time with my daughter, and I wrapped my belly, so that helped to condense things a little bit more. I have a little bit of extra, only because with C-sections, you always keep a little something. But I'm working on that little piece. It's just a little piece that I'm trying to get rid of. So
maybe next time around, I'll try that.
You got this. Let me tell you, I got some secrets for you. If it wants to know some secrets. But yes, y'all. So again, stay tuned with us. We love you all. Thank you all for listening with us. This has been week 3 of Kids, Socks, and Motherhood. And stay tuned. Oh, don't forget to follow, subscribe.
On Instagram.
Yes.
KSA. _ motherhood on Instagram. Yes. And also remember, guys, we want to hear feedback. We would love to, you know, have a dialogue with you. So if you have any questions as well, you can always email us at 2moms@ksam.info. You can find the link of that too on our Instagram page as well. Yes. We are truly thankful for all of our listeners, all of the support you guys have shown, as we have, you know, just started this journey of helping other moms in our position who look like us to be empowered moms. So, like Kelly said, we truly appreciate all the support. And you can find us on 6 platforms now, Kelly?
I think it's almost 6, yeah.
6. Anchor, Spotify, Radio
Google
Public,
Podcast.
Google Podcasts. There's so many ways you can tune in. So, yes.
All right, y'all. Have a good one.
All right. Till next time.